हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay. So page 13. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura writes in The Harmonist, Vatsasura represents evils that are particular to boyhood. The neophyte is extremely susceptible to such evils. They can only be eliminated by the mercy of Krishna. If one engages in Krishna's service, they will be completely eradicated at an early stage. So, you have the principles that he's saying is here of boyhood, so then you can apply it to boys themselves. You know, but it also, as we see here, the neophyte is extremely susceptible to such evils. So, what is in devotional service, where's the boyhood, right? In the neophyte stage. So that position of being childish mentality, that's where it is. So that's why then these problems come up at that point. So you'll see this in the boys, you'll see this in the neophyte.
Let me see this childish mentality is basically manipulating other devotees for one's own purpose.
Is the childish mentality manipulating other devotees and for one's own purpose?
Yeah, and what Nipu Goswami says,
And is it overeating? It means any of them. Means the point is how someone's childish is different. Right, so it can be any of the anarthas within karma and jnana. And because of that, then someone who is outstanding in an area of value to you, you then put it that this is important to you. And so then you take up bad association because of it goes in line with what conditioned elements you want. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter what it is. Each individual will have their own particular areas. There's an English proverb that sowing of wild oats is inevitable at a young age. The term Puritanism was originally coined to express the protest of boys and young men against any undue curtailment of the scope of enjoyment that should be regarded as permissible to them. So you have the ideas that when people are young, they'll be crazy and all that, and it's considered okay. Mm-hmm. Only because they don't know what to do with it. I think even the Amish, they have a time, I think from 16 to 18, they have a name for it in German.
Rumspringer.
Huh?
Rumspringer.
Rumspringer. Rumspringer. So, it just means...
Jumping around.
Huh?
Jumping around.
Jumping around, yes. So. The wild oats time. Right? So, that's the whole thing. It's just understood that it happens, so it's worked in. Because they don't have a system to actually purify the children, so when they get to that age, then they do better. But in any case, you're going to have this aspect where someone isn't that mature, but thinks they are. You know? Like that. So, that's the problem. That's why we're saying is that one problem with the neophyte thinking that the material qualifications makes them more advanced, all it is this problem. Is they think that they're more advanced than they actually are because they can jump around now. And they can do it in a professional way. So,
Maharaj, can you say that this way, in his existence in the past,
when devotee joins, they were fully engaged into devotional service.
Yes. No, you're just fully engaged. Then there's no problem.
Yes.
You just didn't have a moment for everything. Like I remember once telling the temple commander I was tired, I needed to take a nap. And he said, I noticed you don't fall asleep when you're eating. You know, you may be tired, but when you start eating, you fully wake up. You're fully enthusiastic. And then, oh, okay. Until I remember then one day I was sitting, you know, in between, you know, in Sankirtan, you go and sit down, eat your lunch. And I actually, while eating, fell asleep for an hour. Like that. So then the temple commander said, that was all right. That was bona fide. So. Yes. So yes, they keep you busy. That's the idea, is that there's always something going on, everything's regulated. So you take into consideration the youthful nature, so therefore there's some space and all that, but it's controlled. But then the problem comes is that nowadays that it's, you know, if you're not from more traditional kind of things, it's not controlled. Right? Because even here we're saying that the Amish, 16 to 18, not 15, not 19, like that. So there has to be that full training. And then at that time, if they try to jump around a bit, it won't be as crazy. And there's more of a chance that they'll see you know, what's actually to be done and then carry on like that. So, So here he's saying that the term Puritanism then was used to try to remove this position where they're not giving that freedom. Boys and young men claim the right to be merry and frolicsome. There is nothing objectionable, and much of that is of positive value in the display of these juvenile qualities. If the attempt be made to stifle this innocent play of the boyish nature under the impression that it is an exhibition of sensuousness, and for that reason is as harmful as similar conduct on the part of grown-up persons, the result is not assurance but discouragement of juvenile innocence. There are indeed black.
What does Saraswati people wants to say? That it should be encouraged?
Point is if it's. The Vatsasura represents evils that are particular to boyhood. The neophyte is extremely susceptible to such evils. They can only be eliminated by the mercy of Krishna. If one engages in Krishna's service, they will be completely eradicated at an early stage. So he'll bring up the different points what they'll make and then this and that. It's just not so clearly done here, because in those times is that people would read the whole article and then, you know, try to understand and this, and then go back and then touch on the points and that. So it's a different style of writing. Yes, you know what I'm saying. So he's throwing out that this is what people will say and this is what they're doing. So he's explaining why they think that they have a right, they have a position, why it's good. Right? Because it's saying it's juvenile innocence. But the problem is it's not innocence. Because what if it's innocence, why is it not so nice? Right? There are indeed black sheep, and these should not be allowed to taint the whole flock. And for this purpose, caretakers with full sense of their delicate responsibility are required to keep watch over them for ensuring the innocence of boyhood and youth without killing their joys. But with every precaution, it has been found impossible to attain this double purpose. The scriptures say that it is not in the power of man to ensure the immunity of boys and girls from the blight of sensuousness except by means of the service of Krishna. Okay, so, in other words, people will try through this puritanical kind of aspect. Then, means you have the Puritanism used here as a derogatory position given by those in youth. But it's also was, at least in America, a group of religionists who called themselves the Puritans. I think they were the ones on the first boat because they weren't appreciated in England, right? Because in England it was all about these sowing the wild oats. Yeah. And so then they headed off to America. Like that.
They ended up with corn. Man.
Yeah, they ended up with corn instead of oats. See? So problem solved, right? You know? Yeah. So then there's this idea, okay, so now in this, then the youth will be, you know, a bit rambunctious and everything like this, but there are black sheep within the group of the youth, and so if one protects that these particular bad children don't have any undue influence or any influence on the others, then that youthfulness and all that then will be undisturbed. Right? So in theory, that would be the material solution. But the difficulty comes up is that no one can ensure that this will work at the same time, because you're trying to give the facility for sense enjoyment, but a sense enjoyment that is deemed not bad. Right? At the same time as you're trying to control from bad influences that you will consider bad. Right? So you're trying to do two things at once. Encourage sense gratification, but control sense gratification. So this double purpose, then it will have a problem. So only Krishna consciousness can deal with this. The materialists can't deal with this. That's why they have problem. Right? Because only in Krishna consciousness can you engage the senses in Krishna service, so the senses are engaged at the same time controlled. But for the materialists, they don't have a system for controlling the senses and engaging the senses. Because otherwise, where do you draw the line? So that's the point. It's all sense gratification. So it's just what you consider is okay sense gratification and what the other person considers is not okay sense gratification. Because from family to family, it will be different. That's why every time there was a different group on the boat. You know, and when they got to America, it was actually in some states, I think Rhode Island was the only state at the time of the 13 colonies, you know, like that, that allowed freedom of a religion, right? America's all for, you know, freedom of religion. They didn't allow. If you were of different denomination than what was allowed, it was the punishment, you were hung. Like that. So much talk of, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, they were way worse than in England, because in England, people harassed them. They didn't like them, but they didn't hang them. But you come to America, and if you weren't of that group, you were hung. It was considered illegal. Yeah, so that's the thing. Everybody's got a different idea of what is actually proper, you know, religious activity. So that's why, unless you go by what the acharyas say, unless you go by what Shastra says, then there'll always be this problem. So on the pious platform, on the material platform, there is no solution to the material problems. Right? So in the Vedic, then they can deal with it better, but it doesn't solve the problem of the soul. So they can solve the problem of the conditioning, but not the problem of the soul. But if you don't follow the Vedic, you neither get anything for the soul or the conditioning. It just doesn't work. It's real hit or miss. So there's the only thing is, except, so the scriptures say that is not in the power of man to ensure the immunity of boys and girls from the blight of sensuousness except by means of the service of Krishna. That's the only thing. You can have all kinds of arrangements, but it's not going to be guaranteed unless there's a connection to Krishna. That's the only thing that then removes this problem. Right, so there isn't another solution. So sometimes it's thought, well, make a nice arrangement. It's not going to happen. This is declared to be the only effective and natural method. Let the boys be exposed to the attraction of the cowherd boy of Braja. They will soon learn to pick up his company. They will easily realize that Krishna can alone save them from every form of danger to which they are exposed by the right of their juvenile nature. Right? And he puts it in quotes, right, you know, that he thinks, though it's our right to be juvenile. But the point is, you can't be juvenile at the expense of everybody else and your own position. Right? In other words, your own stupidity shouldn't cause problems for anyone else or yourself in the future. Like that. Why should this be so? There is a simple reason. Krishna does not limit his service only to the middle-aged and old people. Your puritanic idea of Godhead is a conception which owes its origin to persons who are elderly, although honestly enough anxious to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. But if you scratch the thin coating on the surface of their sage and sober scheme, as befitting their age, you only detect the rotten arrangement for securing the maximum of sensuous enjoyment for those very children who are to be brought up in this virtuous way. Right? Because the whole idea is sensuousness, right? You're controlling the children so they can go crazy when they're adults. So the whole idea is you're creating this kingdom of God on earth. But what's it all about? Is it about service to God? No one ever talks about service to God in the kingdom of God. Right? Mm-hmm. Why would you ever do that? Right? No, it's all about enjoyment. So therefore, that's the whole problem that comes up here, is they're trying to control the children so they can enjoy later, but the children want to enjoy now, so then they're complaining about why you're restricting us. You know, you're enjoying, why can't we enjoy? If the child is allowed to spoil his health in boyhood, think these righteous people, he will not be in a position later to enjoy the legitimate pleasures of the grown-up man. Unless the young man husbands his resources of sense gratification, he will also be a victim of premature old age. It is a policy of expediency of postponing a small present measure of enjoyment for reaping a much larger measure of it through the long tracks of the years to come. So we can see it's just karma. It's not about proper. Maybe considered more pious, but it's still just bottom line sense gratification. So as long as there's sense gratification in the heart of the living entity, you can't guarantee if it's going to be more pious or less pious. You know, because the underlying point of being sense gratification means it's not pious. Because real piety is connected to Krishna. We have had many occasions to explain that the spiritual is transcendental. No mundane consideration can form any part of spiritual training or conduct. It is not a spiritual affair to be even able to control one's carnal desires. Such self-control is indeed automatically produced by the awakening of the soul. But self-control is not therefore a function of the soul. The soul has nothing to do with the senses. The soul's desire is neither sensuality nor sexual purity. The soul is not a mere mortal being. If brahmacharya means a method of gaining moral power, it is wholly a mundane affair, and is as such not only of no concern to the soul, but is positively obstructive to spiritual well-being. Right? So, at this point, then you start to see is that the whole approach to morality from the mundane position, that unless you control, you won't get good enjoyment. Unless you control now, you won't get later, right? It's just like if I don't spend my money now, I save, then later I have so much money I can enjoy. Right? So that'll be considered a virtue. Right? So in the same way, they're just saying you control the senses now, then you can enjoy for much longer later. Right? Well, if you waste it all now, then you won't be able to enjoy later, you'll die younger, all these different things like that. So it's not actually a consideration of, and so it's not that the brahmacharya or the, you know, controlling the senses or that is really the point. But it's presented as it's the point. You know, it's good, it's nice, it's wholesome, it's, you know, honest, it's all these whatever words you want to use. But it actually, it's just sense gratification. So then that brings out the point that these modern concept of what's good and nice and all that is exactly the same thing. They're just saying that you be good and nice. Why? Because then there'll be more sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, here they're worried about the individual, you know, but ultimately, because if the individuals are all bad, how will the state run nicely? How will everybody be able to enjoy? So because it's in a worse situation now people are more focused on how will everybody enjoy. They don't really care about the individual. Though, of course, they say they do, but they don't necessarily. Does that make sense? So this whole idea is that morality without Krishna consciousness actually has nothing to do with the soul. We'll say, no, it's good, it's this and that, but it has nothing to do with the soul. Because the soul is not connected with the material senses. So the soul actually has nothing to do with the control of the senses. Does this make sense? So that means if the soul identifies with the senses, then you can consider that, yes, that's material, so then there, you want material goods, so therefore the senses are controlled in such a way that you'll get material benefit, the bigger benefit. Okay, you enjoy a bit when you're young, but then when you're older, you won't be able to enjoy for as long. Right? So, okay, you spend, 10, 15 years now, and then there won't be, then all that time that they could have later, for much longer, 20, 30, 40 years, that they won't get. You understand? So, it's just a matter of trading off. You want, 10 years, or you want 30 years. That's basically what they're saying. Does that make sense? So, the idea... So, for the soul, only when they identify with the senses, then material, mundane morality has some meaning that it has a value. But what's its value? Its sense, its future sense gratification. You understand? But for the soul, since they don't have material senses, these are the conditioned nature that they're identifying with, therefore controlling of the senses is not actually part of the soul's nature. Right? What's the soul's nature? Engaging the senses in the Lord's service. You understand? Because you do get this in between where you're controlling the senses not for the future mundane stuff like that in the way of karma, but for controlling the senses for mundane enjoyment in the platform of Gyan that I'll merge in Brahman. Right? That's still nothing to do with the soul because the soul's doing nothing in Brahman. So it's not actually the activity of the soul. The activity of the soul is personal engaging the senses. Right? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Very subtle, no?
It's very important.
Yes, if you see how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is talking. So that's the thing is he's pointing out is that the soul actually, the only thing that can actually, this only if the soul's engaged in Krishna service is that good for the soul. Being engaged in the mundane has nothing of benefit for the soul. Therefore, the senses being part of the mundane field, the controlling of them by the mundane methods, it has nothing to do with the soul. Only if the soul engages the senses in the Lord's service does it actually have a real spiritual meaning. And that, so by engaging the senses in the Lord's service, the Lord automatically controls the senses on the material platform. So it's the Lord who controls the senses. That if we find problem controlling the senses, our vows, our determinations, this year, this Kartik, I'm going to, only breathe air every third breath, and I'm going to, stand on my head without using my hands and chant 64 rounds without a break. And all this kind of stuff. I've come up with these. We have problems doing these things, right? Yeah. Sometimes, okay. Not always. Some days it goes well, but some days not as well. They say. Most of the days that when it does work, kind of have to put like a thin, mat or something underneath your head standing. But on the good days, we just do straight. And the really good days, you can have your head on a little pointy thing, to really get the, So, because we're trying to control the senses by material means. Just the senses need to be controlled, I'll control them. No, it can't work. Because the senses are controlled by the modes of nature. So then how is that going to work? Is that I'm determined, I will engage my senses in the Lord's service. That you can do. You understand what's going on here? It's very different than how we approach. Because we think that, no, I can control all this, I can make all this happen. But we can. We can engage in Krishna's service. That we can do. And then Krishna will control the senses. Because if they're engaged in his service, they won't be engaged in the mundane. We've heard Prabhupada talk about this a lot. Right? By engaging the senses in the Lord's service, that's real sense control. You understand? Because Krishna controls them. Yes.
If we take an example. For example, we're attached to eating pizza.
So
instead of giving that up, we cook it for Krishna.
Yes.
And this way we engage the senses.
Yes.
And slowly we switch to what Krishna likes. That's the ideal.
Yeah, it means after a while you figure out Krishna actually doesn't like mushrooms on his pizza.
So is that the mood? Instead of saying, no, I'm not going to eat it, I'm not doing
No, that's the method. In other words, if you think about it and think, you know, this, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, and you can just do it, because then why will it work if you let us say, someone thinks, okay, we're using the... this uncomfortable example of pizza, like that. But the point is, we decide, okay, I'm not eating pizza, and it works. No, I'm just saying, and it does work. What's the actual active principle that's at work here?
I'm the doer.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, why did it work? What was my alternative? From not eating pizza, I just eat air?
No. Huh? Something else.
And what is this something else? Prasadam, right? But we're talking about not eating pizza as a form. So what form of food would we be eating? Right? The Shukta Shakari Bhaji. So, on the pizza. See, you're going for California pizza. I've seen a picture of California. It looks like it's a salad on a pizza. So. What? Okay. Yeah. But you understand what we're saying here. So, therefore, if it's a matter of that, is that we've seen, and then what's the point that we sing, okay, the Shukta Shakari Bhaji. Now, what's the point there? Why that?
Krishna likes it.
So is that devotional service? So that's the only reason it's working. It's because we're saying, okay, this is may not have such a devotional element, so therefore I'm taking up this other, that is to please Krishna, and because of that devotional side, then it works. So it's still, again, only by devotional service. It's not that I've decided, no, eating pizza is nonsense, I'm going to stop this. Point is unless that's replaced with something Krishna conscious, then you have a vacuum. Right? So if you say, I'm not eating pizza, and then sit down at the table and there's nothing on the table, it may not work. Right? You know what I'm saying? You have that windows, what do you call it? Those plastic, you know, airtight thingies, you know, like that, pizza in the fridge, and you sit down at the table, there's nothing on the table, what's going to happen? Yeah. You understand? So it's because the senses are engaged in something else. Now, if you find that just by understanding that, that one can do that, then that's fine. That's good. It makes it easier. But if we find that it doesn't work, then the alternative is the same thing. You take that pizza, it's offered to Krishna. So that means you'd have to follow the rules of being able to offer something to Krishna. So it's not that you're sitting there and tasting the sauce and putting the spoon back in and all those kinds of stuff. You know, like you saw on the, you know, the guy who made the recipe that you're following. Right? So, therefore, you know, so we have to remember Giovanni is not a devotee. Well, nice guy, but you know, not a devotee. Okay? So, therefore, we're engaging in Krishna's service. Now, it's prasad. Now, we're engaging the senses in Krishna's service. Okay? So, that's why one gets purified and it starts to work. Now, at some point, then from that process, then one sees that, well, I'm cooking for Krishna, but I'm cooking all the things I like. Why not cook the things he likes? Right? You know, I'm just saying, half-half is okay. I mean, it's getting there. It's getting there. But what I'm saying, my point is that it's only from engaging the senses in Krishna's service that anything is going to work. Right? But if we say, no, we're Westerners, we can't eat all these other things, these Indian things, then that means we're maintaining the upadis. Because it says sarvupadi vinirmuktam. That was the point that was there. Right? So we have to be able to give up those upadis because we're not that. The soul isn't these. It's the senses. And the senses, it's only because we're attached to it that's there. Otherwise, these senses could eat anything. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that they can eat anything. It's not that they can't eat something else. You know what I'm saying? The Chinese kid born in America can eat a burger and be happy. You know what I'm saying? And the kid that went with his mother to, you know, the Western kid that went with his mother to China when he was young, you know, can get used to, you know, chow mein. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is it's just the senses are engaged. It's just a matter of identity. You identify that, no, I'm a Westerner. I only eat these things. You know? But then the problem is French would also identify themselves as Westerners, and they probably would figure what you're eating is not even, you know, they wouldn't even feed it to their pigs, right? Seeing that their pigs eat truffles. Right? You know, so. Yes.
So would it be proper to say that Prayojana is established first and quite fast?
Yes.
And then Sambandha, it's straightforward, it might take more time, but then it's established.
Yes.
Sooner or later.
Yes.
But then the Abhideya part is where we have to do the constant endeavor, and this is the difficult part.
Yes. That's there, but also the you always have to be remembering, because Abhideya means you're performing the activity or the endeavor with focus. So focus means you understand what is the prayojana, what is the identity, what is the attitude, what is the technique. So that combination of proper focus with endeavor, that will then actually give you the prayojana. But unless, as you pointed out, you understand what's the prayojana, how will you know if what you're doing is going in the right direction? But it's because I know what the result is, therefore I'm judging the work if it's going in that direction. Right? You know, it's just like if I'm at the copy machine and the purpose of the copy machine is I'm supposed to at this point make, you know, 10 copies of a particular paper, a document or something. And when I put the document and all that, and what prints out is only half a document, then I know it's not quite going in the right direction. So I go back, make adjustments, and this and that, until I get the proper document. And then if one comes out, then I know, okay, then the second one comes out. So I know I'm going towards the goal. You know, if the document comes out and then goes back in and then it eats it up, then I'll know something's wrong. Or the paper doesn't go in, or, you know, somebody else is sitting on the photocopier and I don't exactly have the document, you know, like that, you know. So, you know, varieties of, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why one has to know the goal and one has to know the proper identity. So that's why if you're using this thing we're Westerners, that's already the wrong identity, because we're not. We may be using Western environment and facilities, but we're not that Western. And as soon as we think we are, then the whole process of focus is actually spoiled. So that means then our process won't be correct, our goal won't be correct. Because if we are Westerner, then the goal changes, the attitude changes. My identity of how I deal and how I identify everything else changes. But if I see I'm servant of Krishna, then we see like that, and then what's the environment I'm in? Okay, this is what I have. Is that what it says? So like that, then you make things work. So therefore, you have in the fridge, you have some dough that's had, you know, how you say, some yeasted dough and some tomato sauce, right? Then You know, depending on what you know, your knowledge, then you'll cook, as we said before. Otherwise, you know other things, then you might make a bhatura with a, you know, tomato sauce, you know, with a chutney on the side. You know what I'm saying? Same thing. Slightly different. Yeah. Yeah. Hatmatattva was seriously convinced that the Italians ripped off tomato utapams and then called it a pizza. So the original pizza was a tomato utapam. So that's a completely different angle on just what we thought is Western. No, it's just a misapplied South Indian recipe. So therefore, when one has that, then it's a matter of you have an understanding. And so when you said that there's a difference, it means because the understanding is not matured into realization, that makes the abhideya, or the application, give the results. But as we start to get realization of the importance of the goal, then it changes our perception on that, so therefore then it becomes easier. Does that make sense? So the real weakness actually comes in the sambandha jnana, but we'll feel it in our abhideya and our prayojana. Right? So if the focus is not fully focused, then the result we get is less. Right? Something's more focused, we get more exact. When it's not focused, we get something less. You know, it's just like when you're really focused and you make your sandwich, then it comes out okay. But if you're not focused, you know, you can't remember if you put half the stuff in there and, the toast gets burnt and, you know, like that. You forgot to take out the butter, so then you can't spread it. That messes up the bread. You understand? So you will feel it there on the abhideya and prayojana. But it's actually a weakness in that if we accept the knowledge, though we may not understand much, then we have an understanding, though it may be a beginning understanding. But at least that faith is there, it will move forward. Krishna will then reveal. But if we don't have the faith, we're, like it says here, mischievous and that, and fighting it, trying to say, oh, but if you do it in that way, then that's puritanical. That's we don't use the term puritanical. We say fanatic like that. It's old-fashioned or something like that. Or it's Kali Yuga. We try to bring in a little philosophical stuff. You know, Yukta Vairagya. Yeah, man. See, we're not bad, right? They only have the puritanical, right? You know, so like that, yeah. So like that, then we are missing the point. But as soon as we accept that this is true, but I have these attachments, so I deal with the attachments, like Mataji was saying. We have an attachment for the pizza, so then you cook pizza for Krishna. What's the problem? Right? But you have to remember is that still when you cook the pizza, you have to be thinking how to please Krishna while I'm cooking this. So that means there has to be the devotion. And devotion means to Krishna, not to ourself. Right? So therefore, we want the best for Krishna, so we figure this way of cooking the pizza is the best. But with time, then we start to see adjustments on how Krishna, as we become purified, then those things aren't necessarily the ideal. Does that make sense? We start to make adjustments. Does that make sense?
Actually, I've noticed that in many discussions, when devotees discuss, this one is discussing sambandha jnana, one is discussing prayojana.
No, yeah, because abhideya is not a general discussion.
Yeah. So there's the whole riot going on, but actually it's two different things. Like, for example, you mentioned yesterday about changing of the holy name. The people will argue, you know, on what level do we chant? Is it offensive chanting, or is it Shuddha Nam, or is it, you know, in between them. And that's very different according to Sambandha Videya and Prayojana, how you define things. So if definition isn't clear, then people get, you know, confused.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So so where's the rectification?
What's the rectification?
How do you get Sambandha and Prayojana to get along? Abhideya. So, therefore, you have the masculine principle, the feminine principle. Where's the interaction? In Abhideya. Because the masculine is the Sambandha, the feminine is the Prayojana. So it's the interaction that the relationship is tasted. That's where the Prayojana is tasted. That's why it gets confusing, because we see activities, but why is that Prayojana? Because that's how it's tasted. And at the same time, is because they're non-different on that transcendental platform, then it's just the the tasting of the activity, or tasting of the relationship, or tasting of the experience. You know, the effect. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to put the two together. So like you said, it's either, you know, it's just, you know, we chant the holy name, that's all there is, everything else is maya, and this and that, or it's all, you know, Krishna and the gopis, and, you know, this and that, like that. But the point is how are you going to get there? You know, so that's the point, is that it has to be understood as, yes, if you're chanting in Nama Bas, because the point is, no, I can't be chanting Nama Bas because I'm such a fabulous devotee. How can I be chanting Nama Bas? You know? So the point is that, but as we said, Nama Bas can give you liberation. And Shuddha Nam gives you prema. So if that attachment to Krishna is not increasing, but you're finding that your attachment to the material world is starting to slowly go down, and you're starting to see things from a more spiritual perspective, what are we chanting? Nama Bas. So that's the point is that what's the problem with Nama Bas? It's not prema, so it's not Shuddha Nam, so that's why we want to get to Shuddha Nam, because prema is the goal. Right? But if our goal is just to, you know, give up material desire, get out of the material world, Nama Bas does that. So when we're interested in pleasing Krishna, that's when Shuddha Nam then becomes the point. Because only if it's only about Krishna and you're giving up all interest in karma and jnana, that's Shuddha Nam. Right? So it's not a problem. Because we have to remember is that we are practicing devotees. So practicing, or devotees in training. So we're counted as devotees because it's devotees in training. But technically, devotee means prema. So then, if we are, you know, in other words, Nama Bas is chanted by Vaishnava Bas. You understand? It goes together. Shuddha Nam is chanted by the pure Vaishnavas. So, therefore, we can't be, you know, how you say, they go together. So the point is, but this is the process. How the Acharyas gave, they themselves showed the example. And they show how to deal all these different things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed how, as a brahmachari, you know, vanaprastha, sannyasa, and just fully engaged like this you do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed the example of how, as a grihastha, you engage everything like this. So the different acharyas show these different aspects. So they're just showing how the sadhaka does. Like that. So, yeah, then it works for us. And those that use more of the mystical aspects or these things, then they're not our primary examples. They're there in the stories, but they're not our main examples. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it was... Who was it? He mentioned... I can't remember who was sitting on the wall. There was someone sitting on the wall and brushing his teeth. Who? can't remember, was that with Shamananda or
Rasikananda,
like that. So we hear stories, but this is not the first story we're told. You know, we hear about Rupa and Sanata and how they were working Brahmins, and they gave that they were working for the Mohammedan government. They even changed their names, and then they're doing the things. And then when they came in contact with Krishna consciousness, then they saw the validity, they gave that up, and they moved on, and how they went through. So we see that. Like that, you know, with the devotee sitting on the wall brushing his teeth. You know, it means that you, you know, you crouch on the wall when you brush your teeth and all that, you know, because you're still half asleep, so you don't want to fall off. And it didn't work for Humpty Dumpty. See, if Humpty Dumpty had been crouching on the wall, he wouldn't have fallen off. But he didn't. He sat on the wall, so he fell off. Right. So, and, does that make sense? Yeah. You don't know the story.
Yeah.
No, it's just that he was told that in the village square, that or the town square, whatever it was, there was some yogi, and he was flying around on a stick. And, you know, he should come see this. This is fantastic. It's amazing, and this and that. And, you know, just the stuff we're talking about. They become a victim to bad association. And he was just ignoring him. Who cares? Big deal, this and that. He kept harassing, until the point where it's just you can't ignore. So then he was brushing his teeth with the neem twig. He just took it, put it, you know, sat on it, flew around a bit, came back, sat on the wall, went back to brushing his teeth. So then they go, oh, right? Yeah. So then, okay. Maybe it's not so special. So it's not the first story we hear. It means these stories are there. Once you appreciate the glories of the devotees, then these kind of things then add to it. But if not, then you get, oh, I want to fly around. How do you do that? You know? Does it have to be a neem twig? What if I'm only using a babla twig to brush my teeth? Can I still? You know, and how long do? Because that's only, you know, that's only 9 inches long. It says that's not a whole lot to ride around on. Now, I was using, you know, like a, you know, a 2 foot one or something like that. Wouldn't that be easier to ride around on and like that? But then it's the trouble to brush your teeth with, because every time you move, it kind of and wobbles and stuff like that. And then it's a waste of time, because in the same stick, I could get 3 days out of it instead of 1 day, and it's not so easy to get the sticks, right? So to avoid all of that, then, yeah, you hear about those later. Not that they're more advanced. You have to be more advanced to appreciate. Does that make sense? Is that you good?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good. Pizza, we're good. So in other words, by offering it, we get purified. And then if there's a need to make any adjustments, then we do. Right? If we're eating pizza because we say it's fabulous, we'll have the taste of it, but it always makes us sick, then we might, at some point when we give up that attachment, stop cooking pizza. Right?
Krishna forces you.
Yes, so whatever it is, you know, or maybe you have to go back to the Italian tradition of less cheese, or you know, stuff like that. You know. You had something?
Question: one of your class, you said desires are desires. It's material desires, or just desires? Nothing about spiritual desires.
And so what's the question?
Yeah, I got confused. You said that it's nothing about the spiritual desires. It's desires are only desires, it's material desires, or just...
You have to see the context that we were talking about.
No, you gave the class in the temple, that then...
No, but I'm saying, what were we talking about that we were relating that to? I don't know. Because you have the principle that there's desire, and then whether it's for Krishna or for Maya, but the principle of desire is the same. Just like attachment, you can be attached to Krishna, you can be attached to Maya, but the principle of attachment is the same. It's just a matter of how you're using it. You're using it in connection with Krishna, or you're not. And is that attachment for Maya and Krishna? That's mixed. That's what Mataji was talking about. So if that's there, but because you're offering to Krishna, you're connecting to Krishna, Therefore, you become purified by that half. The other half is going to give its result. But the point is that the devotional half is stronger. So you'll gradually move along. The greater the attachment, the slower it'll move. Like that. And the less the attachment, the quicker it'll move. Is that okay?
So how we will make it appreciate that this desire is appropriate, or if this is not... It's
what's our duties? What does Scripture say? Mm-hmm. If it's our duty, then that's where you decide. Is that okay? Yeah, so that's why it says, better to do your duty not so well than someone else's very well. Because someone else's duty doesn't match what you should be doing. Even though you can do it nicely, but it still doesn't make your situation work well. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
I have some confusion, so I asked from two different teachers my Shiksha Gurus. So one is said, this is Maya, you should be careful, and another said, no, if it's useful for your Krishna consciousness, so then you go ahead. So
the point is that how are you going to view it? Are you going to view it connected to Krishna, or are you going to view it connected to Maya? So if you view it connected to Maya, then better to avoid it. Right? So Prabhupada also mentions that in training of the brahmachari, even though the point is after being trained, he'll come back to family life. But at this point, if he's in family life, he won't actually learn anything. So he has to be separated from the family life, put into a monastic environment, and in that environment, then he learns what he's supposed to learn. Having been trained, now he can go back into a family environment and apply that and be a proper grihastha. Right? So the point is if trying to engage this activity, if by engaging it, you will simply be absorbed in the material side of it, you can't remain Krishna conscious, then better to not engage. There's other things to do. There's plenty of other things to do. Right? Like we're saying, a pizza drives you completely around the bed. There's plenty of other things to do. Right? Does that make sense? You take those long, hard, funny sticks and boil them in water and stuff like that. And, you know, stuff like that you do. Yeah? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then, it's what you can actually deal with and remain Krishna conscious. That's what you deal with. And if you're not going to remain Krishna conscious, what's the point? Okay? Till the service, okay. Till the service of Godhead is realized, it is impossible to be really moral in the sense of being needlessly and perfectly virtuous. Right? Because you say needlessly is because you're going to... What's the whole point of mundane virtue? It's only for karma gyan, so it's still needless. And you can't be perfectly virtuous anyway, because what's the purpose of it? In a lower than virtuous purpose. Somebody says, how do you be virtuous if the whole point of your virtue is to do something that's not virtuous? That's his point. So that's why we get confused, because we'll take this middle ground of virtue to be something good, but it's only good connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, then it's not good. I mean, it's better not good than someone who's not virtuous. But if someone's attached to the virtue, then they can't even understand Krishna consciousness, because it's about doing something to please Krishna. And so they can't actually engage a wide range of things. If a person is causelessly virtuous in the worldly sense, he or she will be an easy subject of exploitation for all the cunning rascals of this world, right? If you're very nice, like I said before, that whole kind of pure flower child thing of the hippies then didn't really last very long. I think by 769 it was gone. Mm-hmm. Right? So 67 to 68, because they can be exploited. Because if you're so nice, you're causelessly virtuous in the worldly sense, you're trying to help everybody, everyone will take advantage of you. No one will deal on that. You think, I deal like this, they'll deal back like that. No. You deal like that, they'll take advantage. This is so because morality is conceived by the empiricist as a reference to the physical body and the changeable mind, and is therefore liable to change so long as the conditions are not radically altered. Right, so it will change. The whole point of being good and nice and doing it is so everybody can get sense gratification. But as long as you're getting, then I mean, if you're getting sense gratification in the social environment, you'll consider the social environment is going fine. Even if others, it's not going so fine for. As long as those others it's not going so fine for aren't connected to you. As soon as they're connected to you, now it's not fine. So that's the whole point, is we don't actually care about everybody. We only care about ourselves. But the point is if everybody, if it's everybody, every man for themselves, what if everybody else is better than me? Will I get anything? No. But if it's, you know, one for all for one, then what's my chances? Much better. Right? So that's why it's popular. Not because it's a great philosophy. Because it's still mundane. It still doesn't consider the laws of nature, Krishna himself, what actually is the purpose of human life. It doesn't consider all that. All it considers is that now I have a shot at fulfilling my material desires. Because everybody is going to accommodate that. Right? And so then as we go, the modern society is just trying to widen those boundaries of opportunity. So whatever it is, okay, so a certain group works together, but somebody within that group slightly different. Then you have to accommodate that person, and then the next person, and the next person, until it basically accommodates everybody, so therefore it accommodates nobody, because nobody gets. Because then this whole thing is, oh, now it's good for this or that, like someone was telling me. Yeah, discussion came up the other day. Something in the, how you say? Well, yeah. You have it, let's say, the funniest example is the Indian government. So then there's this policy of, you know, trying to make everything equal. Right? So then in making it equal, then the point is noticed that why all these, you know, how you say, posts in the government that require actually good intelligence are all being filled by generally individuals from, you know, a Brahminical or an aristocratic background. And so therefore we have to see that all these other groups get an opportunity. So then they get a quota. What's it called?
Reservation,
yes. That, you know, 30% or 50% or 70% or what are we up to now? 110% or that has to be given to people who are not Brahmins. Like that. Now, the problem comes is that, okay, how many guys apply? So from that particular group, let's say, you know, you do your IAS exams, they do a lack of exams, and so let's say 10,000 are from that group, right? And so for the IAS, I'm not sure what it is. I think those within the first, what do you call it? Those who are within 90%, 90 and above, then they become the IFS officers. Then if they're in the next group, I think it's 70 to 90, they're the IAS officers. And then who's below that down to a certain percent of the IPS. So like that. And so then you have, you know, what they feel is the qualification to do that job. And if you meet any of these people, they're super intelligent, super professional at doing what they do. Like that. Even you say the IPS is less, but what they do doesn't require that kind of intelligence. They need a practical intelligence. And they do their job very well. So now you have, let's say, 10,000 of those, or 10% was from this, these other group. Now, the top guy in that group, let's say he got 30%. Right? And then it goes down from there. So now you need 30, you need 30%. There's 100 jobs, you need 30 guys from that group. So you're starting from the guy, the top guy at 30%, and it goes on down to the to 10%. And now they're in the government. How well does the government go? Not very well. You know? So that's the problem with this. It's you either makes it, you make it for everybody, everyone gets, but then they're getting, but then the actual purpose of the government is the people. The people aren't actually getting a good government. So in actuality, it's, you know, is the government about jobs or is the government about protecting the people? So they make the government out of jobs, and so it's just opportunity. So then that becomes the problem. So the social thing, no, but this group wants to do this, and that group wants to sing this song, and this group wants to walk around like Nalu Kuvara and Mani Griva, and, you know, all these kinds of things like that. And so this is their right. They can do that. You know? Isn't it? You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's not about the actual purpose of something, it's about someone's rights. And then the purpose of the whole thing's lost, yes.
And they will cement this theory that you're speaking of with that line, Prabhupada built a house in which everybody can live.
Yes.
So let the Mani Grivas be also here, let the...
Oh, I see. Oh, wow. Interesting. Huh? Yeah. Oh, no, see, the whole point is that in the temple, right? Like, say, here, our temple, do you see any potted plants? Inside the temple? No. Where are all the plants? Outside the temple. So, since the Nalu Kuvara and Mani Grivas, they're acting according to the dharma of trees, then where should they be? Yes. So, like that. So, yes, we can accommodate outside. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is people who have that, but they have to adjust. Are they trying to go back to Godhead? Right? Because now, when Krishna then pulled down the trees, and Nalu Kuvara and Mani Griva then came out of the trees, how did they come out? Right? Did they come out with no clothes, and in one hand they had a, you know, a, what do you call it? You know, their glass for drinking, and... No, they were dressed as demigods. So. You have to get to that. So if you think that this is okay, no, this, what you started here, who cares? What your background is, we don't care. It's what you're doing now that's important. But if you demand that I can do whatever I like now, then go home and do whatever you like and be Krishna conscious there. Why you have to be here? Or, we'll all come to your house and do our stuff there. You know? May not work out as good for them, right? So therefore, you know.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki Jai Nitai Gaurav.